Skyrocketing food and gas prices are not the only things blowing holes in Americans' pockets this holiday weekend. There's this, too. Fireworks are a bit scarce, and prices are way up due to a major supply disruption. As Frank Morris of member station KCUR in Kansas City reports, that'll make for some unusually dark skies this year.
Teenagers stump across a big gravel parking lot after a concert near Kansas City, a little deflated. Something was missing from the 13th annual Red, White, and Boom show.
No boom!
I wanted to see a bunch of sparks in the sky, but nothing.
Yeah. Where's the boom?
Organizers were a little dissatisfied, too.
It was like, yay, and nothing. No boom.
Event coordinator Jamie Harris says several fireworks companies, including the one they've always used, let her down this year.
They just kind of pulled the fuse out of our display, basically. I didn't even get like a straight answer for the longest time on why we were getting turned away. And then I found out later that there's been a shortage.
Almost all fireworks shot in the U.S. come from China. Charlie Wald, who runs the fireworks company his grandfather started 80 years ago, says it's been quite a year there.
It was. It was like whatever could go wrong in China went wrong this year.
In February, an enormous explosion and fire took out 20 big fireworks warehouses and a major port. Chinese officials soon closed other ports to the volatile cargo and finally stopped fireworks exports altogether this week to resume sometime after the Olympics. Labor, materials, and shipping are all way up. The dollar's down. Walt says orders are backed up, and what is available costs about 25% more this year.
It's the worst the whole industry I've seen in as long as anybody can remember. My generation, my father's generation, has just never seen anything like it before.
Now, big pyrotechnic displays, like this one Tuesday night in Kansas City, will go on as planned, with fireworks bought months ago. But hundreds of small-town celebrations are off. Matt Sutcliffe, who runs Premier Pyrotechnics, says he's had to turn away more than 700 potential customers.
The ones that hurt the most were the phone calls of congratulations, or you'd receive a letter that says, congratulations, you have been awarded the contract for this display. And we would have to tell those folks that we're going to put them on a waiting list, but it doesn't look good.
While things are rough in the display business, the picture's only a little brighter at the retail stand.
Mike Collar, I'm the president of the American Pyrotechnics Association. I'm also in my own business. I'm the president of Winkle Fireworks.
Collar says backyard-type fireworks are also up 25 to 30% this year.
Like this one right here, the El Grande. I think last year we were selling that for $45.99. Now it's $57.44.
Still, it stands across the country. Customers like Kelly Easley are buying, if a little reluctantly.
When I looked at the prices, I was kind of shocked to see, you know, consumer fireworks particularly are way out of line this year, I think. And with the economy the way it is, we're just going to, you know, be shooting less, it looks like.
If the shortages continue, and people in the industry expect that they will, Easley and everybody else who buys fireworks or sponsors shows will be getting even less bang for their buck next year. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
And NPR's Robert Krolwich found fireworks of a different kind at a shrine celebrating Indian independence in the northern Indian city of Lucknow. You can get that story in a narrated slideshow at npr.org. Just search for the phrase, Lucknow is for lovers.
NPR's business news starts with an oil conference in Madrid offering no relief. The price of crude oil broke yet another barrier yesterday. It closed at nearly $146 a barrel. The price hike came as oil ministers and executives wrapped up meetings at the World Petroleum Congress in Madrid. Jerome Sokolowski reports.
The Qatari singing troupe couldn't lighten the sense of doom. Not only are high prices here to stay, executives said, but much of the easily accessible oil has already been found. Randy Gossin is president of the World Petroleum Council.
I think the one positive thing coming out of high price is that it does create the investment capital to get at these harder to produce supplies that are out there.
Ulla Morten Onestad of Norway's Statoil Hydro says his company is digging down to oil layers under its main natural gas field in the North Sea.
Originally, it was believed that you couldn't get anything out of these oil layers. Now we have an ambition of taking 2.1 billion barrels out of those very thin oil layers.
Many in the industry say such efforts are costly and will not bring down prices. But Yusuf Rafia of Saudi Aramco disagrees.
And we hope that at a certain point the price will come back into the reasonable price that should be.
Still, Saudi Arabia rejected a further production increase after last month's 200,000-barrel-a-day boost failed to make a dent in prices. For NPR News, I'm Jerome Sokolovsky in Madrid.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average managed to end the trading week with a rally. It gained 73 points yesterday to close at 11,288. But that still leaves the blue chip index in bear market territory, down more than 20% from its high. The Standard & Poor's 500, a broader index, isn't quite there, but it's close. So to talk about bear markets and what they mean for investors and the economy, we spoke with David Wessel, economics editor for The Wall Street Journal.
Well, you know, they sometimes use the term bear market to refer to any market where the stock prices decline more than 20%. It's mostly a psychological term, but people have a lot of money in the stock market, so it does reduce the amount of wealth that people have to spend. It makes it harder for businesses to raise capital to expand, and it generally suggests a kind of unease about what the near-term economic outlook is, and that's probably the most important thing.
Are there specific groups that are most strongly affected by this? For example, retirees who are looking to cash in their 401ks or others who are really depending on how much their stock is worth?
Well, the people most directly affected are, of course, rich people who have a lot of stock. Only half of American families are directly exposed or indirectly exposed to the stock market, even through a 401k plan. And the typical family has less than $30,000 in the stock market. But you're right that those people who are living on their savings, who may have had a lot of money in a retirement plan or retiring, are particularly disadvantaged when the stock market declines and they have to sell their shares.
Is there sort of a self-perpetuating cycle here where when people hear that the stock market is not doing well, they start to get afraid and that makes the stock market do worse?
Absolutely. And, you know, the people who are pros in the stock market say when everybody's gloomy, that's just the time to buy because they're about to take off. Unfortunately, they say this more often than the market behaves the way they say it will. But, yeah, it is a kind of barometer, if you will, of the mood of people with money around the world.
Well, maybe if talking about this makes it worse, we should just be quiet now. I've heard people compare this to the 1970s. Is that a valid comparison? How does the situation we're in now compare to what things were like then?
It really was much worse then. In the first few years of the 1970s, the stock market lost more than half its value adjusted for inflation. Consumer price inflation was in the double digits. Unemployment was up there in the 9-10% range. We don't see anything like that now. What people are worried about is the extent to which this looks more like the beginning of the 70s than anything we've seen in a long time. So they get nervous about that.
Well, if, hypothetically speaking, we are in a situation comparable to where the country was in the early 70s, are there things that the government or consumers can do to keep it from playing out the way it did in the 1970s?
Well, I don't think there's much consumers can do, but I think the government in the form of the Federal Reserve is very conscious of mistakes that were made in the 70s, and they're trying very hard not to let inflation get out of control and not to let what's happening in oil and food prices spill over to other prices in the economy. And that's why they've been talking so much about managing inflation expectations. Of course, it's sort of an awkward moment for them because we still have a financial crisis and a credit crunch that's ongoing, and that limits their ability to sort of come down with a hard hammer on inflation.
Well, how optimistic are you that things will get better soon?
Wow, that's a tough question. Right now, it looks like we're in for another rough patch. The housing price declines continue. A number of banks and financial firms are still having problems. And when the effects of the tax rebates or fiscal stimulus wears off, the economy could take another dip down at the end of the year. So, you know, look, I'm a pretty optimistic guy about the long-term future of the American economy, but I think the next several months are going to be a little rough.
David Wessel is economics editor of The Wall Street Journal. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris, and we begin this hour with the latest unemployment numbers. The U.S. economy lost 62,000 jobs in June, according to new numbers out today. The unemployment rate remained the same at 5.5%.
June was the sixth straight month with job losses, and that has never happened before without the economy falling into recession. As NPR's Chris Arnold reports, many employers are feeling squeezed.
High fuel prices and the ongoing fallout in the housing and credit markets are costing the U.S. jobs. The biggest hits continue to be in construction and manufacturing.
We're fighting battles on various levels just to survive.
Jamie McGregor is a manager in his family's business, the Morgul Machine Tool Company. It's in Springfield, Ohio, and it makes metal machinery parts.
We make parts that go into treadmills and bicycles for the exercise industry. We make parts that go into locomotive engines.
Like many businesses, McGregor's is getting hit with rising costs. It's not just oil. Global demand for all kinds of commodities like steel and copper has sent prices through the roof.
The price of steel has virtually doubled in the last 6 months. The cost of healthcare and making that affordable is becoming increasingly difficult.
And that's pushing the company to trim costs elsewhere. The weak dollar has actually helped McGregor to win some business away from European competitors, but the company still has had to cut its temporary workers, and it's eliminated about 20 of its 400 full-time jobs through attrition. Many other businesses are doing the same. Nariman Baravesh is chief economist with Global Insight.
The economy's struggling. It's lost 438,000 jobs in the last 6 months. We are, for all intents and purposes, in a recession, most likely a mild recession.
He says mild in part because the job loss numbers haven't been really extreme so far. In recessions historically, we've seen double the number of monthly job losses that we're seeing right now. But there are still reasons to be concerned. Take inflation. Right now, McGregor says his company is going to have to raise the price of its machine parts.
If we sell a stamped part for a dollar and 70 cents of it is comprised in steel, and the cost of steel doubles, we've got $1.40 in raw material in the part, and our customers are resisting to take any increase.
So McGregor says his company actually loses money on some parts that it sells, and it needs to renegotiate contracts to pass along that cost. If that were easy for businesses to do, inflation could spiral out of control. Not good for the economy. But Baravesh says,
so far, it hasn't happened yet, and to me, the sort of quintessential example of this is the airline industry. Jet fuel prices have probably quadrupled since 2000.
But Baravesh says competition stops airlines from passing along anywhere near that full cost. That, of course, leaves many companies in a real bind, and there are some economists who see big trouble here. Peter Morici is a professor at the University of Maryland.
The U.S. economy is in crisis. We are not going through an ordinary recession. Rather, we're losing jobs that will never come back again.
Morici doesn't see high energy prices going away, and he thinks the credit crisis will drag on. But Nariman Baravesh says we shouldn't get too freaked out here.
One of the most remarkable things about the U.S. economy is its resilience. And when you think about it, it's been hit by two shocks simultaneously, the housing and credit crunch, if you will, and separately the oil shock. And the fact that we're only in a mild recession, I think, is a testament to the resilience of this economy.
So Baravesh says he's optimistic about the long term, but for now, even he predicts continued job losses. He sees unemployment rising to 6% or higher by the end of the year. Chris Arnold, NPR News.